deserves. Australia's first NBA All-Star, the 2018 NBA Kia Rookie of the Year, from the Philadelphia 76ers, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Friday, February 22. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to throw that sweet, sweet folding stuff my way. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every day of NBA action. Just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so we are back after the All-Star break. We're wrapping up all the good stuff from that with All-Star winners and losers, making some predictions for the rest of the season. We're going to wrap all the games from today as the NBA came back. So we're going to cover all that with That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mates, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball, and of course there's those evergreen favorites, you know, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled takes. We're going to look at all the odds and pick and preview for the games over the weekend, all of them. It's a massive NBA weekend too. We've got a new dickhead of the week, we've got a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, and we're going to close out with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Now, going to be great. Trust me. All right, man. It's NBA Australia. We're all rejuvenated. Let's get to it. It's NBA Australia episode 231. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better watch out for the attack of the arm hurts a little bit, Anthony Davis. All that good stuff. You got to watch out for very uncompetitive NBA All-Star games until the last 2 minutes again. We had it fixed and now it's all shit again. You've also got to watch out for exploding shoes, I guess, if you're Zion Williamson, huh? That's how it goes. That's right, man. We're going to start today the way we start every episode of NBA Australia with the daily whip around. We're going to fly through today's show just because, look, All-Star happened. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about the games today, and, you know, that's kind of it. So the news, the NBA have officially, between them and the Player Association, figured out that they're like, you know what? How about we lower the draft age to 18? All these poor buggers, one and done. Got to be 19 to enter the draft. Or you've got to play, for a year overseas somewhere. So, look, they've got to drop it to 18. We saw on the weekend Zion Williamson hurt his knee as his Nike Paul George blew out underneath him after 33 seconds on the court. So, look, I'm fucking all for this. Feeling good about it. Good job, NBA. Let's get this happening. It's also them trying to kowtow the NBL. Is the NBL like, hey, man, you can make 75 grand playing with us? And everyone's like, but I could also hang out in fucking Indiana. Ugh. Anyway, lowering the draft age to 18, it's smart. One interesting part of this as well is that they also need to figure out that all draft prospects, and if they have an agent, have to make their medical records available to all 30 teams. Because, look, this is the thing. Like, if you're going to be rolling the dice with kids who are 18 and aren't playing in college, where you get to watch them for at least a year, you kind of want to know what's going on medically. And I kind of like the idea of, like, if the team wants to know a little bit about your medical history when it comes to injuries and whatnot, they should be able to ask and, you know before they invest significant resources in you. But of course, medical records being out there for people to look at sort of sucks. So let's just do that the right way, NBA. Come on. Other news, Dell Demps, the New Orleans Pelicans, general manager, was shit-canned. Yep. The Pelicans were like, this guy doesn't know his ass from his elbow. He's completely fucked the Anthony Davis situation. He's put a shit team around him apart from Jrue Holiday. Now we've kind of traded off half our team, and the rest of the guys are here, and they're like, what the fuck are we all doing here? This is bullshit. So the Pelicans owners just went, I'm Gail Benson. I'm the wife of Tom Benson, the guy who owned the Saints. We're running a football team. We're also running a basketball team all of a sudden. Oh, shit, this guy sucks. Let's fire him. So they did. Good on him, I guess. Sure. But now Danny Ferry is in charge there as the interim GM, which is pretty funny. Kyrie and the coward Kevin Durant was spotted talking about going to the Knicks seemingly at All-Star Weekend, which is pretty good. We're going to talk about some more tampering a little bit later. Markieff Morris is officially going to the Thunder after being bought out by the Pelicans. Speaking of the Pelicans, be a Pelican, not a Pelican. Markieff. Now, this here podcast still reckons that Markieff Morris and Marcus Morris have switched places at given moments throughout their history. I'm assuming this one's Marcus Morris because the one that we think is Marcus is playing in Boston at the moment. He's good and he was always the shit one. So I'm going to assume that's Markieff. So the Thunder actually probably got Marcus Morris. Space Jam 2 begins filming this summer and has an official release date. July 16, 2021. Oh, jeez.
It's a trap.
What? It is a trap. Do you really think LeBron can act? This is going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know. Probably not. But look, I'm all for more Space Jams. Fuck it. Let's do it. Some injury news. Joel Embiid is out with a sore left knee for about a week. There was nothing on the MRI, and you've just got to assume that he did it while shit-faced after the All-Star game in Charlotte. Because he looked fine during the game, right? He's like, yeah, I'm good. Then he probably got out, got on the sauce. Was probably like trying to piggyback on Russell Westbrook at some point, slipped and hurt his knee a bit. Good job, Joel. Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. Triple J is questionable against the Clippers. And Dante Exum, oh, he's been ruled out for this weekend's games, but he is back practicing. Love it. All right, well, what do we do on Mondays? We usually do winners and losers. So let's do All-Star winners and All-Star losers.
Oh, my God. I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me!
Kent Brockman.
Can we get a photo of me? That's right, man. All-Star winners, yes. So, let's wrap up the entire weekend, shall we? Team World versus Team USA. Oh, Big Simo Ben Simmons couldn't get it done with Team World. They lose 144-161 to Team USA. So Team USA are a winner there. The skills comp, Jason Tatum won that with a half court three, basically, which was absolutely unreal. That's right, the rich man's Harrison Barnes won the skills comp. The 3-point comp was won by Joe Harris over Steph Curry, which was unreal. Joe Harris was like, fuck, man, I just grew a beard and I look sick. What up? The dunk comp was won by Hamidou Diallo, not Hamidon't, which was unreal. Great dunk, jumping over Shaq, elbow in the rim. Rips open the thing. Superman looked unreal. Good shit. And then Team LeBron beat Team Giannis 178-164 in the actual All-Star game. So, the winners and losers out of this weekend. The winners, Hamidou Diallo. That over-the-shack elbow dunk was fucking insane, mate. How good was that? Out of the rest of the dunk comp, which fucking sucked, Hamidou looked incredible and that dunk was sick. Definite winner. Also made everyone realize that Hamidou Diallo is not Hamidon't and can hammer fucking play. Other winners, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Man, dropped 38 in the actual All-Star game. Looked fucking incredible. Probably should have won the MVP. Everybody got to see how legendary he was all weekend because he was an All-Star captain. That was great for Giannis. The fact that he even won the voting in the East is pretty unreal. But now, man, his status is just like, pew, right up there. Love it. Other All-Star winner, Steph Curry. He looked shit in the actual game, but that bounce pass to Giannis for the sickest dunk that you'll see. A bounce pass alley-oop was absolutely unreal. He was fun as hell, like the entire weekend. Like that 3-point shootout was unreal. The actual game, he just kept launching threes. He's like, I don't fucking care that I'm I suck, but I'm going to keep shooting. Other winners, as mentioned, Joe Harris, my man. He beat Steph. He's now the 3-point champ, and I picked this. On this show last Friday, Joe Harris was the pick. Hope you booked it. I did. That was good. Other All-Star winners, LeBron James. He got to Tampa for an entire weekend unimpeded. After this weekend, his team next year is going to be like Kyrie, KD, him, Paul George, Anthony Davis, and Boogie somehow. That's how much tampering LeBron got up to. That was unbelievable. And you know what? Fucking who cares? Good on him. It's hilarious. I love it. Other All-Star winners, Kyrie Irving and the coward Kevin Durant, they got a chance to tamper with themselves in public, which isn't smart. Not when you're seeing them go, two max slots, Kyrie, two max slots. We're going on the Knicks. Let's make it happen. And Kevin Durant's like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. Why are you talking about this in front of fucking cameras, you idiot? But they are winners because they got to hang out and be pals, which is what they're going to be doing next year on the Knicks, no doubt. And other All-Star winners, us. We got a final D-Wade to LeBron alley-oop, and it was fucking amazing. God damn, that was cool, wasn't it? Love it. And as you heard at the start of this episode, the final All-Star winner, again, us. And Big Simo Ben Simmons, Australia's first NBA All-Star from the Philadelphia 76ers, Ben Simmons! Shit, yeah. Chills, mate. Chills. So that is a definite All-Star winner. What about All-Star losers, though?
We're not losers!
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up!
Loser.
Loser.
Loser. Yeah, man. Dennis Smith Jr. is an All-Star loser. Holy crap. How was the, how many attempts do you want there, Dennis? Mate, just fucking dunk it already. Christ. That was brutal. The dunk up in general as well as an All-Star loser. That was just shithouse. Apart from Diallo and maybe that John Collins grabbed the backboard dunk and, what was he trying to do? Dunk over an airplane.
Oh, it's tipping a hat to North Carolina's heritage of having like the first manned flight, the Wright brothers. So we're going to have this.
Why? You know what else is in fucking Charlotte? NASCAR. Jump over a fucking NASCAR, you coward. That shit's awesome. Fucking one up fucking Blake Griffin jumping over shitty ass Kia. Why don't you fucking jump over a sick NASCAR? The old Jimmy John's car, the number 7. Fuck yes. Also, All-Star loser, the fucking scoring system for the fucking dunk comp. Ah, oh, Jesus, can we figure this out? It's like, look, yeah, I kind of like the idea that they don't get penalized for missed dunks, but to be honest, you fucking should. Dennis Smith Jr. getting a 50 for basically, like, what, jumping over D-Wade and, like, pushing off him. It was, like, what are we all doing here? When there's actually some sick ones that, you know, you have John Collins like grabbing the backboard and fucking just cramming it like a mad dog, gets like 45, that's, we're doing something fucking wrong. We need to fix the All-Star scoring. It's dumb. It's shit. All-Star losers otherwise are the coward, Kevin Durant. He was also a winner, but he's also a loser. It's the classic Kevin Durant current conundrum. He won the All-Star MVP, but people are only ever going to remember like the Steph Curry to Giannis Antetokounmpo pass and, LeBron tampering. They're not going to remember that Kevin Durant won an All-Star MVP. It's classic. Kevin Durant being overshadowed by Steph Curry. It's his curse. Other losers, Rusty. Ugh, gross game for him. Kyle Lowry, he stunk all weekend. Kemba Walker. Ideally would have, you know, been a favorite to win the MVP. Barely got a look in.
It was a bit of a tough one for Kemba there. It's like, oh, all right.
He played the least amount of minutes out of all the starters apart from Kawhi. And basically was replaced by, what was it? Who was on there instead down the stretch? Rusty was out there, that's right. So yeah, it's a bit weird. Poor Kemba. Anyway, he'll be fine, probably. All-Star losers, Seth Curry. Reminded everyone that he's the off-brand $2 store curry, which is pretty great. And the final loser thing for All-Star Weekend was the stupid shit they tried to pull to make money for charity that never seems to work. Last year was half-court shots. Year before, half-court shots for like, you know, 50 grand a pop and all that sort of stuff. And it never seems to work. And then this year it was like, oh, we'll get Dell Curry and a bunch of legendary three-point shooters to do like stages of the three-point comp together. And like every one that they hit will be $5,000. They're going to hit like a million because they're really good. So we've got Glenn Rice and Dell Curry. And Mark Price, Dell Curry, and Ray Allen. This is going to be incredible. And then they proceeded to raise $35,000 because all of them combined to hit 7 fucking shots. What the fuck? Come on, man. This is why old guys shouldn't be allowed to say shit about the state of today's games. Like, oh, we'd do it way better. Like if I was playing today, I'd be way better. So I could do that even now. Well, bitch, you couldn't even hit a fucking three with no one guarding you. Shut the fuck up. Come on, man. Mark Price, Ray Allen, Glenn Rice, Del Curry out there. All like, yeah, man, I could hit a million threes. You hit seven between yous, you morons. All right, let's wrap all of today's games as well, shall we? Let's do it. Phoenix lost in Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. They did lose in
Cleveland.
Suns, Booker had 30. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 23. DeAndre Ayton, 13, 9, and 3. But man, one of those games where you're like, hey, DeAndre Ayton, you know who's like guarding you on the Cavs? Yeah, no one good, mate. So how about you go out there and kick the shit out of him? Number one draft pick, man. Like, you're out there being guarded by fucking Ante Zizic and like Larry Nance Jr. You should kick the fuck out of them. What are you doing, you moron? Anyway, for the Cavs, Kevin Love is back. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds, 19 for Chetty Osman and Mini JR. Jeremy Clarkson had 15 points as well. The sex man, Colin Sexton, had a shocker. 8 points on 3 of 12 shooting. That's amazing. So there you go. Suns drop another one. They're 11 and 49. And the Cavs are up to 13 and 46. Neat. Miami and Philly played Aussie Heritage Night in Philly. Philly win it 106-102. That means there's a fucking meat pie eating competition at halftime. I met the guy who organized this. He seemed pretty neat. And he was like still amused by the idea that 4 and 20 were, you know, supporting it. And that was, he was like, yeah, this is great because they're awesome. And it's super Australian. And Americans are literally like, what's up with meat pies? And I'm like, yeah, you guys know what the fuck is going on. He's like, but they're tasty. I'm like, yeah, they are. Anyway, for Miami, D-Wade had 19 points on 8 of 18 shooting. 18 as well for Dion Waiters Island, including a wild three at the end of it that meant they covered the 5.5-point spread, which is very funny. But Miami, man. Speaking of centers who just should have dominated, Hassan Whiteside should have smashed it without Embiid. But he actually sort of stunk up the fucking joint. Only played 21 minutes, had 4 points, 5 rebounds. Went 2 of 6. Jesus Christ, Hassan. What are you doing? They just don't have that top end burn, but they kind of should. It's weird. For Philly, Big Simo, Ben Simmons had 21, 7, and 4. 9 of 19 shooting, though. Not great. Tobias, the never nude. Harris had 23 and 11. He was great. Jimmy Butts had 18, 6, and 6. But it was all about the Boban. My mate, met him on the streets in New York. He had 19 points and 12 rebounds. He was fucking amazing. But Philly got a very handy win here. Miami dropped to 26 and 31. Flip it around a little bit. Philly got 38 and 21 for their record. Nice. Portland, they beat Brooklyn in Brooklyn, 113-99. The Nets, Joe Harris, after winning the three-point comp, went 0 of 3 from 3. And D'Angelo Russell, fresh off his All-Star game, had 14 points on 16 shots. He was a minus 30. I don't even how are you a minus 30 when you lose by 14 points? That is wild. And classic D'Angelo. Sweet baby carrots, Caris LeVert. He had 12 points on 4 of 11 shooting. Looked confident though out there, which is good. Nets with him back. A little bit of a smoky down the stretch, I reckon. The Blazers, Nurkulus Buznubir. 27 points, 12 rebounds. Crushed it, 3 blocks as well. CJ McCollum and 21. Dame Lillard, 13 points on 5 of 21 shooting. Jesus Christ, mate. Dame, that's a all-star hangover right there. 18 points for Enes, the penis canter off the bench as well in his first game as a Blazer. Good stuff. Didn't have to go too far either because he was in New York already. They played in Brooklyn. He could have just rolled in and on the day. He's like, hey, guys, where's my jersey? What's going on? Brooklyn, they're 30 and 30. Portland, they're 35 and 23. Boston played in Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Milwaukee get away with a win, 98 to 97. This was a pretty rough watch, this game, but still a wild finish between two of the top teams in the East. Milwaukee get it. Tatum got fouled on a Giannis block down the stretch, but it didn't matter. They didn't call it. Everyone's like, that was sick. That was a good block, man. Tatum's like, oh, but come on, man. And every Boston fan fucking everywhere lost their mind. But still, it came down to the last possession thanks to Marcus Smart tying the ball up with Giannis and Milwaukee having a shot clock violation, giving them 3.5 seconds to get a shot off. And Kyrie chucked up a shit shot at the end, ignoring Al Horford. And Boston lose. That's right. Noted old person and Boston Celtic leader, self-appointed, Kyrie Irving, missed the game winner. He had 22 points on 9 of 27 shooting. Comes definitely from the Kobe school of leadership and shooting.
Kobe!
9 of 28. Fucking hell. But yeah, so Kyrie, not a great look after you've spent the entire fucking last week and a half bitching and moaning about young dudes not knowing how to win and not having the right mentality. Then you come out and shoot 9 of 27 and miss the game winner? Yeah. You're a dick. We're going to talk about him later. Horford at 21 and 17. He looked great. Tatum, the rich man Harrison Barnes, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 15 for Jaylen Brown as well. And Smash Smart, 2 of 8. He shoots 1 of 5 from 3, but did tie that ball up with Giannis and give the Celtics a shot to win at the end. Otherwise, his defense is great. Offense was a rough one today. For Milwaukee, Giannis had 30 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, crushed it. Chris O'Middleton hit a massive shot, basically the game sealer to get them to 98. 15 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. 15 for El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon. And Nikola Mirotic, hello! 8 points in his first game as a Buck. Not bloody bad. Boston, they're 37 and 22 now. Milwaukee, still at the very top of the East. 44 and 14. Nice one. Golden State snuck one out against the Kings. Just had a slightly better fourth quarter than the Kings did Golden State. This was a fun-ass game, I'll tell you that much. Buddy Hield had a rough one, though. 8 of 19 shooting after a fun All-Star weekend for him. He ends up on 19 points. De'Aaron Fox with 18 and 8. That's 8 assists. But Mavi Bagues, 28 and 14. He crushed at the rookie. Harrison Barnes, 5 of 12 for 13 points. Not great against his old team. But anyway, look, they hung, they stuck. Kings look good. I love it. Really, really felt they could steal this, but they didn't quite get there. Anyway, Warriors, 28 points for Kevin the Coward Durant, 36 for Steph Curry. He hit 10 threes in this game again. That's like the 5th time this season. It's fucking wild. No, 7th time. Anyway, pretty nuts. And 36 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 17 and 10 for Boogie, 18 for Clay. And look, man, Golden State, they needed all their dudes crushing it because their bench didn't give them too much. Way to go, Kings. Way to push them. I loved it. It was really cool. It was a really fun game. And in the final game of the day, the Lakers eked one out again against the Rockets in the basically the Rondo CP3 matchup that we've all been waiting for. Fun. Very fun. 111-106. Fast Jimmy Harden gets it to 30 points again. Unbelievable. The streak continues. He shot 11 of 24, but 2 of 10 from 3. Man, how is that for a all-star hangover for everybody? Like, everybody was in the all-star game, basically stunk. 14 for Eric Gordon, 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists for Chris Paul. He looked good because he probably actually got some fucking rest rather than playing all-star. 12 and 11 for Clint Capella. He's back, which is awesome. The Rockets look pretty good, but they'll take, like, obviously a little bit of time to get their shit together. Shame for them to run into the Lakers, who obviously have a bit of an air of desperation about it at the moment. Lakers needed that to stay in touch with the West playoffs, basically. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But LeBron James has 29 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Kuzma had 18 points. It is pretty bloody good. But Brandon Spindles Ingram, 27 points, 13 rebounds. Where was that the last month, you moron? You're killing me. Reggie Bullock, the new Laker, he had 14 points, hit a massive 3 down the stretch as well. Great stuff. Lakers win. They're 29 and 29, and the Rockets are 33 and 25. There you go. Fun wraps. Oh, I didn't talk about the records of the Kings. They're 30 and 28, and Warriors are 42 and 16. Nice. All right, let's do the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the week, basically.
Nice. That's a knife.
That was a knife. Giannis Antetokounmpo in the All-Star game. He had 38, 11, and 5. Shot 17 and 23. The coward was quiet. And at no point were we ever like, oh, here we go. Kevin Durant's taking over this game. And Giannis should have won the MVP. So it kills me. And he was also really, really, really good today against the Celtics. 30, 13, and 6. Jesus. Unbelievable. So good shit by Giannis. Also, look, the performance of the night, honorable mention. D-Wade throwing that oop to LeBron one last time. That was awesome. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mate.
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 Who's got no mates today? It's always fun watching the All-Star game and seeing who gets shots, who doesn't, and watching everybody sort of freezing at the rookies and the guys that they don't really like that much. Like Big Semo Ben Simmons had to sort of force the issue a little bit and do a lot of passing and hang out and do some fun dunks. Lowry, just no one was like, oh yeah, I really like playing with Kyle Lowry. That was pretty tough. But the toughest one was probably for Vooch, Nikola Vucevic. He got two shots and LaMarcus Aldridge got two as well. They both only played like 12 and 11 minutes respectively. At least Carl Towns, when he got out there, he only played 11 minutes. He put up seven shots in 11 minutes though. Carl Anthony Towns, not fucking around. But the old mate, no mates, is really probably Anthony Davis. I think everyone's just like, this fucking guy. All the fans at least. Don't know about the his fellow All-Stars, but Jerseys, all the fans are just like, yeah, fuck this dude. What do you reckon? Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Rusty Westbrook in the All-Star game, 8 of 20, but also Steph Curry, 6 of 23, 4 of 17 from 3. That's some Spud-worthy numbers right there, isn't it? Jesus. It was pretty rough, I'll tell you. Oh, Drews. And look, it's just, you know, it's a hard one in the All-Star game because you're just going to get shots up. My favorite, though, was Dame Lillard's just entire stat line where it was all threes that he actually attempted. That was fucking cool. It's like, way to go. Way to go, Dame. Don't fuck around, man. Like, we're out here. He shot 6 of 17. It was all threes. Unbelievable stuff. Good stuff. No real pantsing of the night apart from Giannis sort of pantsing Jason Tatum. Look, it was pretty much basically a foul, but now you got pantsed. And then what about better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, which includes sitting on the, you know, bench for another week or so. Lonzo, still not back. Trae Young, that's what we do. Better than Trae Young slash Lonzo Ball. He went 9 of 19 in the Team World versus Team USA. Did Trae, and he wasn't too bad, you know. You can't really fault him for it. Wasn't too bad, mate. Wasn't too bad. Team, you know, he did lead Team USA to a bit of a win. 25 points, 10 assists. That's pretty bloody good. But then today, we're going to go better than Trae Young and Lonzo Ball. Marvy fucking Bags. Marvin Bagley. 28 points, 14 rebounds. He was unreal today against the Warriors. Looks like he's gotten slimmer as the season's going on, and he just looks like an absolute problem. He's like basically the second coming of Amari Stoudemire. Love it. All right, what about Dickhead of the Week, though?
Dickhead of the Week!
Co-winners, Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. Oh, geez. How's Anthony Davis, though? In this long-ass, rambling, dumb shit that he's saying over the All-Star break, like, hey, man, I just want to win. It's just great. You know, I just really want to win. Like, hey, every team is on my list, man. Like, it wasn't just, it's like, Anthony Davis, that is complete fucking bullshit. You were trying to force your way to the Lakers, and now that they've failed to trade for you, every team apparently has to be on your list all of a sudden again. And when you're talking about, I just want to win my legacy, I just want it to be winning. And then you're talking about basically, you know, the Knicks. You're like, oh, they're a great franchise. Like, since fucking when? 1973, you idiot. 1994 when they're in the finals. 1999, what do you reckon? Jesus Christ. Anyway, but the best part is, he said, I will always have love for the city of New Orleans. When that time comes, I'm going to definitely have a heartwarming message for them and put it out on Instagram. Like everyone else does. That's how much I love you guys. I'm going to do the least amount I can to show it. You fucking dickhead. And Kyrie Irving, oh my God. After I had a bit of a chat was with Rachel Nichols, he said, we have a bunch of young men in our locker room who feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than they're doing. And yeah, then called them out. The best part is he then doubled down and was like, yeah, this is, look, it's on me as a leader. I've got to do better. It's like, yeah, no fucking shit. Like not throwing the young guys under the bus. And also you're like 27. Jaylen Brown's like 3 years younger than you. Shut the fuck up, Kyrie. And then he also added, got angry. Kevin Durant got angry at the media. Then so did Kyrie. Weirdly enough, they're hanging out together. It's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. Then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. And then I'm asked questions about that. This is the stuff that doesn't make the league fun. Like it doesn't make the league fun. Kyrie, that 100% makes the league more fucking fun if we go, ha-ha, Kyrie's having a chat with KD. They're probably planning free agency. And he's like, that's not fun. It's like, everybody else in the fucking world thinks it's fun, Kyrie. Who do you reckon's right? We are, you idiot. And he also then sort of came down with another dickhead move the other day. I celebrate Black History every single day. I'm appreciative that Nike does it, but at the same time, I think that should be more individualized because he wants to move away from having a Black History Month shoe. What a dickhead. Should be more individualized. How about you just like go, you know what's really good to have? Black History Month, because at least we get to appreciate it for a month. And yeah, we should be appreciative all the fucking time, Kyrie, but why aren't you wearing Black History appreciative shoes all the fucking time, you moron? Jesus. Love Black History Month. Love the fact that we have the shoes for it. Kyrie, you're a dick. All right. Yeah, nah, right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back to NR, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. We're going to do a couple, and then we're going to do predictions for the rest of the season edition of NR, which would be good. So, first off, should Zion Williamson, the prospective number one pick in the NBA draft, sit for the rest of the college season? Yeah, nah. Yes, fucking A, he should. He busted his shoe, went out of that UNC Duke game in the first 33 seconds or whatever, hurt his fucking knee. It's only a grade one right knee sprain. He's going to be day to day. Mate, sit the fuck down. You've not made your money. And I guess, look, you've got he's got an insurance policy where he'll get paid $8 million if he slips further than 16 because of injury. He's still going to go like right in the top fucking 1, 2, 3, even if he does get hurt. But still, you know what you don't want to do? Risk that. Just fucking sit out. You don't know Duke shit, Zion. And anyone go, oh, but it's a more pure version of the game, is a fucking moron. Zion, you need to get paid, get your money, sit the fuck down, hang out, look after yourself, go in as the number one draft pick this season. God damn. Anyone who like is defending the NCAA about all this shit is a fucking stooge. Tell you that much. Number two, is Tristan Thompson the biggest moron in the NBA? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, cheating on your girl with her sister's best mate? You fucking idiot, Tristan Thompson. How fucking dumb can you be? I get that you're Canadian and you're just probably being polite. She's like, oh, hey, Tristan, I'm all naked. And you're like, oh, a boot car parks. It's really nice to see you naked there. I guess we should probably bang. And she's like, oh, yeah. Tristan, you fucking idiot. All right, predictions for the rest of the NBA season. Let's do that for yeah, Nas. We've got, what do we got, 5, 6 here? Yeah, let's do it. Number one, will Anthony Davis play again for the Pelicans this season? Yeah, nah, yes. And they did announce it's going to be 20 to 25 minutes a game. Should he, though? Yeah, nah, no. Pelicans, sit him the fuck down. Just fake a fucking injury and sit the fuck down, Anthony Davis. He's going to play. I mean, what fan is going to like, oh, this is really cool, man. I've got my season tickets. I'm going to go along and watch 20 minutes of Anthony Davis. Fucking play all the game or don't fucking play at all. Fuck off. Are the Denver Nuggets the second best team in the West? Yeah, no. Nah. Look, I'm going to go with the OKC Thunder. I feel like they've got a run and a half coming up. I think the Nuggets are very, 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 very good. I think the Isaiah Thomas thing is going to be awesome fun, but I think it's going to throw them a little bit as they work him into the rotation. Same with Michael Porter Jr. if he ever makes it in. But OKC, I think they might just knuckle down and figure out their shit. And I feel like they might end up number two. Next up, will the Lakers make the playoffs? Yeah, no. Ooh. What do you reckon? I am still leaning towards yeah. I think the Clippers will probably slip a little bit. And the Lakers might be just better than the Kings. And it hurts my heart because the Kings are awesome and fuck the Lakers. But Jesus, I think they might just sneak it in. So they're it'd be fun to see them take on the Warriors and get steamrolled in the first round. And it would be historic to see LeBron miss the playoffs for the first time since he was a rookie. But yeah, I can't quite see it happening just yet. And especially with their win today, it really, really helped. If they had have lost that game today against Houston, would have been really rough. But they are back to 500 with 29-29. So yeah, see how they go. But I reckon they'll make it. Speaking of which, will the Kings make the playoffs after Buddy Hield bet his house on it? Yeah, no. Oh, geez, Buddy. I don't know, mate. That's got a bit of a nah feel about it. I've got a huge feeling they're going to be like the Clippers in Denver last year where they came in 9-10 in the West and everything was really, really close. The Kings might end up ninth with the Clippers again. Be pretty close. Can James Harden keep up this scoring and his 30-point streak and win the MVP? Yeah, nah. Look, I think he'll keep up the scoring. He's not going to average the fucking, you know, over 40 points a game that he had been. And I don't think he's going to win the MVP because now with Chris Paul back, Clint Capella back as well, a little bit of the burden will be off his shoulders, and we'll see Giannis run away with it down the stretch. All right, a couple of Aussie ones. Will Joe Ingles shoot better than 40% from the three-point land the rest of the season? Yeah, nah, yeah. I reckon we're about to see a big uptick from Jingles. He's at 36.8 so far for the season. I reckon he'll end up at 40 for the rest of the year. You know, he and Renee, his wife, had a big piece about their son being diagnosed on the spectrum for autism. And I kind of feel like that might have the sort of background work and everything that had to go into Joe looking after the family and sort of doing all this sort of stuff in the background, you know, might be a little bit of a, you know, now that's out in the open and all the support and everything is kind of pouring in for him. It'd be really cool if like the basketball gods just tipped a couple of those threes in for him. And I reckon they will. I reckon he'll go on a bit of a tear. Next up, does Denga Dell stick around the Cavs the rest of the season? He was back down the Canton Charge, hit a game winner the other day. Yeah, nah, yeah, I mean, he's on the two-way. I think they'll keep him around for a bit of a look. Yeah, what do you reckon? And finally, can Ben Simmons average a triple-double the rest of the season? Oh, yeah, nah, he's not quite there, is he? But with Embiid out for like a week, mysterious kind of knee thing, maybe. There's a yeah, nah, oh, maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe. What do you reckon? Thrown in there. So yeah, we go. Can Dele keep up averaging over 10 assists a game? He had 13 before the break and 11 after. Well, maybe. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day? Let's do that one.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Kyrie Irving should be being fucking dragged just as much as Anthony Davis is. He requested a trade with 2 years left on his contract. He threatened surgery if he wasn't traded before the season. He let all the teams know that he wouldn't re-sign with them through his agent as well. Picked his way basically the Celtics and took like fucking no shit for it. Whereas Anthony Davis is doing basically the same thing in the middle of a season though, which is a problem, and getting much more shit about it. So look, Kyrie should be getting much more shit about being a bit of a dickhead. The Kyrie and Anthony Davis dickhead twins at the moment. That's what we should be talking about. Yeah, Kyrie should have had that way more under focus. All right, and finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Friday, so come on in to Outback. TGIF, am I right? And you know what that means? 4-for-1 oil drum tins full of icy cold Fosters. No prick back in Australia drinks this shit, so we're going to flog it to you Yanks. Only at Outback. And today's Outback Takehouse Flame Grill take is the reason Kyrie Irving and the coward Kevin Durant were talking about two max slots is because they're planning on going to the Knicks. But the take is, that's why they're so salty about the media all the fucking time. They're sending out warning signals to the NYC media to chill out on them when they get there. They're basically practicing for all the fucking fire coming from the New York media right now. Only at Outback. Whoa! Yeah, they're definitely going to New York, aren't they? Yeah, it sucks. All right, we'll be back in a second with the NBA Australia Player Watch and a great moment in NBA Australia stat history right after this.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, big All-Star weekend for Simo. For Team World, he had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And in the All-Star game, he had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. He was a plus 19, though, second biggest on the team. Bloody amazing. Absolutely crushed it. Swanning around, looked like he belonged. Loved every second of it. And then today in the win over Miami, he had 21-7-4, shot 9 of 19, though, which is a bit rough, but still. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, today had 15 minutes with Joel Embiid out. You'd expect Jonah to get more of a run, which he did today. Even though they started Boban, they still like Jonah coming off the bench. And hey, Boban was good. But anyway, Jonah wasn't great. 0 of 1 from the field. That was his lone three-point shot. Missed that halftime buzzer. Had 4 rebounds. He was a minus 11. Looked a little bit out of it at times. It was a tough one. Oh, yeah, and let's also do some averages. So Simo, he's averaging 16.8 points a game, 9.0 rebounds a game, 7.9 assists, 1.3 steals, and shooting 57.1% from the field. Jonah, averaging 3.8 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 0.6 assists, 0.9 blocks. He's shooting 48.8% from the field and 31.9 from three. Nice. The jingling one, jingling Joe Ingles. Utah didn't play today, so he's averaging 11.7 points a game, 3.8 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 1.3 steals, shooting 43.9 from the field, 36.8 from three, heading into the second half of the season. And Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, is back practicing, as mentioned. So hopefully he'll be back next week. Before he got hurt, he was averaging 7.4 points a game, 2.7 assists, shooting 30% from three and 43% from the field. King Deli of Maribara today in the win over Phoenix, he had 2 points on free throws. He went 0 of 4 from the field, but had 11 assists in 20 minutes. Absolutely unreal. That backs up the 13 he had against the Nets before the All-Star break. So he's averaging 6 points a game, 3.6 assists, shooting 42.2% from the field, 35.8 from three. Deli smashing it from three. It's good stuff. Deng and Dell is back down with the Canton charge at the moment. Didn't play today for the Cavs. He's averaging 2.1 points, 1.1 rebounds, 30% from the field, 25% from three for the Cavs. Patty Thrills Mills is upping his numbers. He's at 10 points a game, 2.3 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and 0.7 steals with 43.8% from the field. Not bloody bad there. And 40.8% from three. Crushing it, Patty Thrills. Nice. Thonsong over there with Detroit. He's out there talking about how much he can't wait to go in and kick the crap out of Milwaukee if Detroit make the playoffs. Nice. For the season, he's averaging 4.6 points, 2.7 rebounds, and both 0.5 assists and blocks. He's shooting 32.1 from three and 42.8 from the field overall. Aaron Bangers-Baines missed the game against the Bucks today, ducking being dunked on by Giannis Antetokounmpo once more. Classic Bangers. He doesn't duck anybody, though. But he's averaging 5.5 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, and 32.4% from three with 45.2% from the field. Unreal. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff didn't play no Dallas game today either. He is averaging 3 points, one rebound, and 0.5 assists per game to go with his 38.8% from three. Deadeye. And 44.4% from the field. Great stuff. Hopefully he's got a big second half of the season to come. All right, let's do a great moment in NBA Australia stat history.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Ah, yes, it's a great moment in NBA Australia stat history because 9 years ago today, the Croatian Australian Wilt Chamberlain, Andrew Bloody Bogut, put up the best game ever by an Australian at Madison Square Garden. He had 24 points, 20 rebounds, and 5 blocks. 5 fucking blocks. He absolutely smashed it. And this was part of like Big Bogey's massive run where he was absolutely tearing it up. Before that, bloody mongrel Amari Stoudemire undercut him on that dunk in Milwaukee and mangled his fucking arm. And he was never the same. So, but this was huge. 24 points. He barely missed a shot. He was absolutely unstoppable, was Big Bogey. And yeah, it goes down in history as the greatest game by an Australian at Madison Square Garden, at least until Big Simo Ben Simmons throws in like a dirty big triple-double. But 24, 20 and 5 blocks. Absolutely unreal. He had 0 assists, though, because he was passing to Brandon Jennings, who would just shoot it anyway. Didn't matter how bad he was. John Sammons and Carlos Argentina Delfino shot an absolute shocking, like, 11 of 50 for the game between the two of them or something. So, on your bogey, that is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and Inspiration Board right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. Patty Mills just retweeted the Women's Rugby League tweet of the Indigenous All-Stars flare back with a deadly war cry. Hashtag NRL All-Stars. Patty Mills tweeted that out with prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands, flame, flame, flame emoji. Unreal. Good stuff, Patty Mills. Looking great. I reckon he had a good All-Star weekend. What do you reckon? Nice one. All right, let's look at some game previews, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How was your All-Star break?
Oh, really good, man. I did nothing but work all of it.
Oh, geez, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I know, man. It's really hard. All right. So tomorrow, we've got the Pelicans playing in Indy. Indy are 5.5-point favorites at home against the Pelicans. Both teams ostensibly without their best players, which is pretty funny. Give me the Pacers. All right, yeah, 5.5. That sounds about right. Pelicans should be swooning about now. They're probably without Anthony Davis in this one. The Wiz visit the Hornets. The Hornets are 5-point favorites. I will take the Wiz in that. I think they might just sort of figure out that, look, yes, we've traded Otto. We don't know what the fuck's going on. But Brad Beal might have like a 50-point game against the Hornets. So give me Washington +5. The Bulls play Orlando. Orlando are 8-point favorites. I'll take the Bulls there. They're kind of weirdly frisky. And 8 might be a little bit too much against the shit show that is the Orlando Magic, even though Orlando are on a winning streak. But still, come on, man. Let's all act like grown-ups here. Orlando suck. Give me the Bulls. Spurs in Toronto. 7.5-point favorites are the Raptors at home. I might take the Spurs +7.5 because you know that DeRozan, in his return to Toronto, is going to throw up a 50-piece and keep Spurs within 7.5. Minnesota, that is great though. Raptors versus Spurs. You know, Kawhi's going to try to go hard. DeMar's going to go hard. It's going to be fun as hell. Timberwolves at Knicks. They are 6-point favorites in MSG. I think I'll take the Wolves. They should smash the Knicks. The Pistons play the Hawks in Atlanta. They are 3.5-point favorites on the road. I will take the Pistons. I think they'll just win by like 4 or 5 in that one. Clippers in Memphis to play the Grizzlies. They are 2-point favorites on the road. I will take the Clippers. They should smash the Grizz. The Nuggets play the Mavs. That's a great, fun-ass game, isn't it? Nuggets, 3.5-point favorites on the road. I might take the Mavs +3.5 in that one. They might lose, but it might only be like 1 or 2, I think. And finally, the Jazz take on the Thunder in OKC. And OKC are 3.5-point favorites. It's like no one watched the playoffs last year, so give me the Jazz +3.5. Thank you very much. And then Sunday, we've got 12 games. Portland at Philly. Give me Philly in that. Phoenix and Atlanta. Give me Atlanta at home. Brooklyn travel to Charlotte. I think I'll take the Nets against the Hornets on a back-to-back. And Memphis playing Cleveland. That's right, in Cleveland. I would take Memphis, maybe. Maybe give me Cleveland. Shit, they might equate at another one. Back-to-back wins. That'd be the very Cleveland thing to do. Indy play in Washington. I would take Indy in that one. I think they're just a better coach team. Lakers at New Orleans. Lakers should smash them. It's going to be pretty awkward with all those Lakers players going, oh, man, so this was where I was going to play? Fuck. Give me the Lakers, though. Detroit at Miami. Oh, classic. Big old Eastern Conference, you know, mid-thousands matchup. Give me Miami. Detroit on a back-to-back. Boston at Chicago. Boston should smash that. Sacramento at OKC. Give me OKC at home, even though they're on a back-to-back. I think OKC should be able to take care of that. Minnesota at Milwaukee. It's Algonquin for the good land. Give me the Bucks. Houston and Golden State, a huge matchup. I'll take the Warriors at home. And Dallas at Utah, that's fun as hell. I'll take the Jazz. The Yaz, I believe the J is a soft J. Yeah, Dallas at Utah should be fun as hell, but give me the Jazz. And then Monday, we'll be wrapping all these games as they happen. Orlando at Toronto, give me the Raptors. Clippers at Denver. Denver should smash the Clips. And San Antonio visit the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. And I think I'll take the Spurs to beat the shit out of the rabble Knicks. Aw, nice. That's it for today, and that's it for this week. But we are back next Monday, and we're back daily for the stretch run. Yes. That's right, man. It's been 2 months since the squid was born, and he's doing all right. So, look, may as well go back to daily. There's a lot going on, so we're going to be delivering it to you with all the usual ridiculousness. You love it. Daily. Can't wait. So, in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or all over socials all the time. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. That really fucking helps out. Go on. But just smash 5 stars or I'll fight you. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. But go check out their new band, House Hats. They are launching their new debut album at the Old Bar in just a little while, which I cannot fucking wait for, because I will be there. I'll be drunk off my ass. I love House Hats. Let's have a look at the actual date for House Hats. There we go, March 29. I'll see you at the Old Bar. Their new album, Running Out of Time. Unreal shit. Yes, nice. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa 6 Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a little smash on Bandcamp and Facey. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and that is it for today. It's it for this week. We're back Monday. Back daily. Can't wait. And we're going to finish off today with a new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Legendary. All right, we'll talk to you on Monday, you dickheads. Have a great weekend. This is NBA Australia saying, later, all right, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. Oh, and look, just because of all this latte drinking, left wing, SJW snowflakes everywhere, someone has to be out there telling it like it is, mate. Like, just talking real truth to power and shit, mate. And not being all hurt by, like, SJWs and, like, you know, value politics and stuff like that, mate. So I'm going to talk about a whole bunch of different shit on Twitter. And if you don't like my opinions, you can go get stuff, mate. I don't care, mate. So look, I love Twitter. I love talking about stuff. So let's get around today. All right, let's go. So let's go to the Twitter machine and see what people are saying. Okay, mate. Oh, so I won the NBL MVP. That was pretty good. My first year back, mate. This is fully sick. I haven't played this well since I was playing like the Dandenong under 14s, mate. So here we go. Appreciate the messages from all. Thank you to the whole Sydney Kings organization and my teammates and coaches. Thanks to all that voted from the NBL. Most importantly, my wife and kids for love and support throughout this journey. On to the NBA Finals. Oh, good one, Bogey. That's pretty good. I'll put up the picture of my trophy. There we go. That looks great, mate. That's some pretty good shit. All right, what else have we got? Oh, mate. So I got some other fun ones. Oh, I'm going to tweet this one out. So, oh, mate, did you see this shit? Oh, mate, I love this. So my buddy, Roy Ward, he tweeted out, this season has been utterly shameful exercise and exploitation from NCAA. Anywhere else in the work, Zion would have been entitled to millions in salary and bonuses for all the business he drove. Hashtag NBA. I mean, okay, Roy, but still, let's tweet this one out. Come on, Roy. He got some free textbooks and didn't have to pass for classes. What more could these spoiled college kids want? Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. Oh, that's pretty good, mate. That's pretty good. Oh, this guy, Laval, he came back to me saying, come on, Bogues, he has choices. He chose to go to Duke knowing the pluses and minuses. Quit pretending that these kids are victims. Oh, shut the fuck up, Laval, you dipshit. Not victims, and he will be more than okay. but it poses a lot of questions the NCAA will need to be accountable for. He making them big dollars whether you like it or not. Yeah, it's a good point, Bogey. It's a good point, mate. That shut that guy up. Oh, have you seen my favorite Twitter account, Titania McGrath? Oh, she tweeted out, important announcement. I've decided to run for president in 2020. Shut Twitter down. Crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji. Oh my God. It is fooling my favorite fucking Twitter follow ever, mate. Oh, it's so fucking funny, man. It's the best. Oh, shit, mate. Did you fucking see this one? So Gorilla Australia tweeted this one out. Shame on you at base or council. What happened to getting kids fit and outside off devices? Tag and shame at base or council. Hashtag let the kids play. Come on at Bayside Council. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Smack my head emoji. Oh my God, mate. So Anthony G also came back, said, I'm sure it'll be replaced as long as everyone agrees not to sue the council if they get injured. Am I right? Oh, mate, this is fucking bullshit. Hear this argument every time these issues come up. Question. Does anyone out there actually have the numbers regarding how many councils have been sued and lost for injuries on a homeowner's private sports equipment on street? Unbelievable, mate. I had this shit. It's so fucking dumb, mate. Oh, and then Andrew Willis comes back to me as well. Oh, mate. When you have airport firefighters who are prohibited from climbing any higher than 2 meters on a ladder for training, despite the need to climb higher during an emergency, is it any wonder these types of decisions get made? Oh, that's a really good point. I'm going to retweet that one. Crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji. Oh, it's pretty good, mate. It's pretty good. That's funny. What else have we got? Oh, okay, mate. So, oh, fuck. How's this good? This is pretty funny, mate. This is pretty funny. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Michael Randall tweeted out, one of the cool things about working for a newspaper is some of the awesome old school photos you come across. I'm pretty sure that's a Tony Kukoc at Bucks jersey circa 2003. They even played together a couple of years. Oh, good one, Michael. That's a picture of me, you dickhead. Fucking funny, mate. Sick haircut, exclamation mark, smack my head emoji, crying laughing emoji. Unbelievable. Oh, mate. Oh, and then Clinton, he says, straight out of Dandy, that haircut. Oh, nice one, Clinton. 100%. Oh, mate. Oh, he's got me. I got me. I better slam myself. I'll tell you what. Oh, and you know what? Jesus Christ, you girls need to settle down, eh? Remember, social media users, it's okay to laugh and smile. Enjoy your day. Cowboy hat emoji. Nice one. Oh, Bill Woods, he also says, what do you reckon? Nice try, big fella. While you're in the mood, try asking for world peace. Good luck in the playoffs. Okay. Better chance of sending someone to live on the sun. Am I right? At BRM Woods. Nice one. Okay, that's all I've got time for this week. All right, so that's it. I've been Andrew Bogut. Join us next week on NBA Australia for some more Andrew Bogut slams from Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.